This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Farrah & Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wachovia, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, your Southeast Toyota dealers, the Parts House, and by Everbank. The appearance of Pete Banaszak is made possible by the Cascades of World Golf Village. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Well, the season comes to an end today. 34-17, the final score. Houston with a victory, beating the Jaguars. The Jaguars needed a win and some help to get it done here at the end of the year. And right now, that help looked like it might come just a moment ago. Indianapolis had fumbled the ball away to Tennessee, and the Titans had the ball in Indy territory with a minute and a half to play. But on a quarterback-center exchange, or center-quarterback exchange, Kerry Collins fumbled it away. The Colts got it back, so now the Colts have the ball with a minute 20 to play in their own territory in a game that's tied up at 20. Jaguars, though, with a loss today, finish 8-8. They lose three straight to end the year, and, boy, it's going to be a difficult game to dissect and deal with, and we have really, as we mentioned before the game, sort of three levels at work here. One is what happens in this game for this season. Two is what impact does this season have now going forward. And then three, kind of the big picture of the direction of things with the Jaguars. But Pete, let's start first with this game. Jaguars, without David Garrard, without Maurice Jones-Drew, did get the running game going very well today, able to get the ground game working, and but they just couldn't stop anybody.
Well, yeah, and the point was that we ran the ball excellent the first half and part of third quarter, but we had to expect them to shut that down, but we didn't have enough. We couldn't spread the field and throw the football, and, you know, that's just the story of the season for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Unable to run the football, we just can't muster enough offense through the air to be a bit of a danger.
By the way, the Colts are moving down into field goal range now with about 26 seconds left. Peyton Manning has the Colts inside the Tennessee 30-yard line, so we'll keep you updated on how that one goes at this point. But, Marco, boy, you knew that the odds were stacked against you when you had no quarterback, no starting running back coming into the game, no Justin Durant, a number of other injuries, guys who weren't able to play today. But, boy, you would have liked to have seen a little bit more on the defensive side. I don't think this was an effort problem today. I think they were outplayed. I don't think that guys weren't trying, that was the – I didn't see that.
I have to agree. I think if you come into this game and you say, okay, offense, you get a 17 points, me as a head coach slash defensive coordinator, I will have the creativity to do whatever's possible to keep this Houston offense from being able to score a lot of points. And it was a direct reflection of the soft – type of defensive scheme, I think that was probably more of a bigger problem than anything.
All right, let's take the next step out then about what this means going forward. This is going to be the point of great conversation here in the next couple of days whenever we hear about what happens next. What do you think is going to happen or what should happen here, Pete?
Well, I don't know what the hell is going to happen. In my feeling, I think the time has run out. As far as the head coach has gone, I think some changes have to be made.
Marco, what do you think?
Well, you know, 8-17 in December over the past five seasons is not good. Got to be able to finish. Now, exactly what's going to be better that's to be determined.
By the way, the Colts have just won it. Adam Vinatieri booting a 37-yard field goal for the win. A 43-yard field goal just a moment ago as time expired. So 23-20, the Colts finish up as AFC South champions. Will be the number three seed in the playoffs, and they finish out the season after going through a stretch where it looked like they were in big, big trouble. The Colts able to rally back, and it was the fumble by Kerry Collins on a center quarterback exchange that wound up costing them the issue. Maybe that takes a little bit of the sting out of it as far as the Jaguars fans are concerned. Had the Colts lost this game, I think it would have been awfully tough for folks to live with, but the Colts do get the victory today at home over Tennessee. I do also, because I'm seeing a lot of tweets and Facebook updates and so forth where you have people saying the Jaguars just didn't show up. The Jaguars didn't want it. The Jaguars didn't, you know, they weren't trying. They really didn't want this thing. I want to caution fans as a general rule that just don't confuse lack of production with lack of effort. When you've got to watch in the trenches. See not if they're just being beaten, but if it doesn't look like they're giving the effort. And Again, we were. I was keeping an eye on that. You know, late in the season, you want to see how that happens. And I have not seen a lack of effort this year.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think they played hard, but I don't think this, especially defensively, they were put in the best possible positions to be aggressive to hold this offense from scoring as many points. Like I said, if you don't have your quarterback and you don't have your starting running back getting 17 points defense, you're going to have to hold up. And Josh Scobie, you're going to have to do a little better also.
Yeah, Scobie with a miss today, although, again, 17-point game. You're not talking about a field goal deciding it, but it did, you see, kind of a bad finish to the season for Scobie. It's a great start to the year. All right, some of the other scores from games going on around the National Football League. Right now, the Broncos have just gotten a kickoff return for a touchdown. Tim Tebow has thrown two scores, but Denver trails 33-21. Fourth quarter, late goings in Denver against San Diego. The Chargers going for the victory there. Green Bay in a low-scoring but thrilling game. Aaron Rodgers to Donald Lee from a yard out with just about 12 minutes remaining in the ballgame. The only touchdown. And the Packers are going to the playoffs. They beat Chicago 10-3. So Atlanta has the number one seed in the NFC. The Patriots with a big win today over Miami 38-7 of the number one seed in the AFC. Number two seed will be the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. Philadelphia leading at Dallas 14-13 with 49 seconds remaining. Philadelphia with the football and trying to make a late comeback here. Kevin Cobb got the start at quarterback for the Eagles. San Francisco with a 31-7 lead over Arizona and 7.5 to play in that ballgame. Brian Westbrook has made a reappearance and scored a couple of touchdowns for San Francisco in that ballgame. Of course, the Niners, one of the teams looking for a new head coach in this offseason. Rex Grossman has thrown two touchdown passes, and including a 64-yarder, and the Redskins back to within three, 17-14, but New York, the Giants have the football and a three-point lead with 34 seconds remaining in the ballgame. And then tonight, the final game that will start in about an hour and, an hour and 7 minutes, they'll kick it off in Seattle between St. Louis and Seattle. The winner of that game wins the NFC West and will go in as the number four seed in the NFC playoffs. So we'll try to make sure we get all the proper matchups going. It'll be the Ravens in Kansas City and the Jets playing in Indy as far as the AFC for my reckoning here. And we'll see how some of the other ones play out and let you know what the playoff matchups will be. But there will be no playoff matchups for the Jaguars after the loss today, 34-17, to the Houston Texans. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. And a reminder that we will have plenty more to come here. We'll have analysis from Pete Banaszak and from Marco Coleman. We'll also have interviews from the locker room, Jeff Loggeman getting ready to talk with the head coach, and more as we continue on here on the Winn-Dixie postgame show. We'll also have, for those of you in Jacksonville, stick around because on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show, we will have Pete Banaszak's All-Peter Team, the Golden Peter Award winner, the announcement coming today, the highest honor that anybody can get in the world of football or otherwise.
The most coveted award.
Most coveted award going. We'll have that for you, the Golden Peter Award, a little bit later on. For now, let's head back to Houston. Jeff Loggeman standing by in the locker room with the head coach, Jack Del Rio.
All right, thank you, Cole, and here with head coach Jack Del Rio. And Jack, obviously not the type of game that you expected here in Houston. Defensively, you guys really struggled to stop the league's best running back, Arian Foster.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing difference between the two ball games. You know, we played so well up front and did things to slow down. I mean, he is a very talented guy, and they do a nice job getting him schemed up and attacking you, and they've been good all year. That's why he's probably leading the league and are going to end up leading the league in rushing. So we knew it was a challenge coming in, but really shocked that we didn't, you know, fit it and tackle it and just do it so much better. And it broke down from the very beginning. I mean, the first third and one, we let it pop big, and that was really indicative of the night. It wasn't a matter of front. It wasn't a matter of any one guy. It wasn't anywhere near the standard that we've established here. And that was the most disappointing of everything that occurred today.
Offensively for you guys, playing without Maurice and playing without David, obviously you wanted to take the pressure off of Trent with a powerful rushing attack, and Rashad certainly got that done. But you know, when you just can't keep up points-wise by rushing the football.
Well, yeah, no, you got to get a couple stops. I mean, really, we talked about it at halftime. Said, look, all right, neither defense played any good in the first half. Somebody's got to get some stops. You know, somebody's going to get some stops and win this ball game. Let's be the team that gets some stops. And you know, we just didn't get it done. You know, and you know, offensively, I thought we ran it well when we could continue to just run it. We had to make some plays in the end, throwing the ball, just not nearly enough there, but. The way we ran the ball, you know, the way we went after him, Rashad and Deji, you know, gave us a chance because that was something we felt coming in. You know, for us to have a chance in the ball game, we were going to have to be able to do that. And we were able to get that going and kept us in the ball game early.
For you guys as a team, you close out the year, you have three losses. What do you tell the team after this, and how do you get over that hump?
Well, you know, I told the guys, there's a class that came in last year that's experienced this 2 years in a row, and I said, that's got to make you sick. Makes me sick. You know, there's a pain that we all should be feeling, and I want you to feel that pain and then have the resolve to make sure that you do everything in your power to make sure that you're better the next time out. You know, we put ourselves in a position 3 weeks ago in Indy and didn't get it done, and I just saw the end of their game where, you know, Tennessee had the ball, 20-20, had the ball getting ready to set up for a winning field goal and fumbled. And I don't know what happened. I think Indy took it, and I would bet, knowing Indy, they went down and probably got an attempt and maybe won the game. Okay, so doesn't surprise me. But there was a chance that even today that we could win the division crown. That's how close it is in this league. That's why it's so important. As a football team, you put yourself in those positions that you seize the opportunity, and that's where we came up short, and that should hurt. It hurts, and it hurts me, and it should hurt every man in that locker room, and I think it does. And so my message to them is feel that pain, and let that fuel you. Let that, you know, feed your energy throughout the course of this next off season, as we get ready for, you know, 2011.
All right, thank you, Coach.
Okay, Joe.
All right, that's the coach's report. Head coach Jack Del Rio joined Jeff Loggeman all season long in the Winn-Dixie postgame show. And that coach's report brought to you by Bubba Burgers. Injury report really irrelevant at this point, but all season long we want to thank the folks at Brooks Rehabilitation for their participation in the Jaguars radio network. Our final stats check brought to you by Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company. I'm just looking real quick at the numbers. Jaguars, 296 total yards, only 101 from their passing game, 195 from the ground attack. Trent Edwards, 12 of 25, 117. A touchdown to Mercedes Lewis and an interception there at the end of the ball game. Quarterback rating 58.3. Rashad Jennings ran the ball 22 times for 108 yards and a touchdown today. Deji Kareem, 7 for 52. Mike Thomas, 2 end-arounds for 20, and Trent Edwards, 4 carries for 15. That's 35 rushing attempts for 195 yards. Leading receiver, Jason Hill, 3 for 68. Mercedes Lewis, 4 for 28 and a touchdown. Texans, 246 on the ground as part of a 499-yard day. Arian Foster, 31 carries, 180 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jacoby Jones, 5 catches for 70 yards. And Matt Schaub, 253 and a touchdown. That's the final stats check. Brought to you by Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More to come from the locker room here at Reliant Stadium in Houston after this quick timeout on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Jaguars fall in their season finale in Houston, 34-17. We return to the locker room. Final time we'll be in the locker room until the 2011 season, and we've got a Pro Bowler with Jeff Loggeman. Jeff?
Thank you, Brian. Here with Montel Owens. And Montel, a little perspective on the season. It got to be disappointing, you know, when you finish with what appeared to be a couple weeks ago, you know, a chance to win the division, and then, you know, you lose three in a row to close out the season.
Yeah, this season, really, as I look back, as this team looks back, we had our opportunities. We had our chance there in Indy, and it's just so close. Not sure what the results were of this past Indy game versus Indy Tennessee. Indy won it, took it. I believe they were tied at one point.
Yeah, they were tied, and Indy kicked a last-second field goal. But Tennessee actually had the ball, fumbled it in field goal range, I believe.
Yeah, it goes to show you how close this league is. We just didn't have enough firepower here late in the game, and didn't execute.
How bad would it have been if Tennessee ended up winning? because, I mean, they did have that game there for a second.
Yeah, I mean, this is a hard pill to swallow. Either way you look at it, we didn't take care of our business, and that should come first. But if we would have taken care of our business, we would have gave ourselves a shot. But we didn't even give ourselves a chance today. So shoulda, coulda, woulda, we got to take care of home first, and that's not what this team did today.
What does this team need to do to get over that hump? You know, 2 years in a row, you know, you're right there in the hunt, and you don't close it out.
Well, I've said this all year. We've got a young, coachable group of guys. I haven't been around a more committed group of guys, and not a lot of people from the outside looking in are going to understand that. But as far as this team is concerned, we're headed in the right direction. We're headed in the right direction. Our arrow's pointing up, and that's always a good thing heading into the offseason.
Speculation will probably start now about the head coach. Your thoughts on that?
The players play the coach's coach. That's none of our concern. Obviously, this is a business. So even as players, I mean, some of us aren't going to be here next year. That's just how it goes. So players play, coaches coach, and we'd love to keep this same group of guys, same group of coaches, and move forward. That's how you build that that cohesiveness that you need as a team to go ahead and take it forward. So.
All right, thank you, Monte. Congratulations on making the Pro Bowl. I know it doesn't feel very good today, but congratulations. Great accomplishment.
I appreciate it.
All right, welcome back. More of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Get our players of the game out of the way here. Our defensive player of the game is Courtney Green. He returned it. Look, even though the Jaguars gave up 246 rushing yards, it would have been worse without Courtney Green. He made some big tackles today, big hard-hitting tackles, especially in a couple of third and short situations, and Foster came into today as the best in the league in third and one situations, and the Jaguars got him twice, and Green was a big reason why. 9 tackles, according to the unofficial sheet, and so Courtney Green is our defensive player of the game, brought to you by Jack Cannonia, Acura of Orange Park, Audi of Jacksonville, Hyundai of Orange Park, and Volkswagen of Orange Park. And, of course, all are located on Blanding Boulevard, just north of I-295. Our Buehler Swiss Watch MVP for a big day is going to be Rashad Jennings. 22 carries, 108 yards, had 5 receptions for 34 yards as well. And you can get your Buehler Swiss at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Robinson Jewelry Company in Fernandina Beach, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park, and Lords and Barons Jewelers in Tallahassee. And Jennings did a great job in place today of Maurice Jones-Drew. And it's Maurice that joins Jeff Loggeman in the locker room right now.
All right, thank you, Brian, here with Maurice. And Maurice, a little perspective. I know you didn't play in the ball game, but a little perspective on the season and that, you know, I mean, the opportunity at Indy and then to lose the last 3, it's got to hurt.
It definitely hurts. I think throughout this season, though, we've grown as a group. We made a lot of strides, you know, from the first game all the way to this last game. Even though we went on a 3-game skid, there's still some positive things you can look out of it. I think as a group, though, we have to kind of sit back and see what went wrong. I don't think it was an effort. You know, there's some things that we got to fix. And so I know they'll be addressed this offseason. Hopefully football will be played next year. And we got a lot of this stuff to do. If it is played, you know, we got to be able to regroup and get ready to roll. And be ready to come back. I mean, last year I remember I said that, you know, this wouldn't happen again if I could do anything about it. And, you know, I tried. But, you know, some things you just got to, you know, we all got to be able to go out there and understand. You know, I didn't do my best. Colts game, obviously, I didn't play well. And, you know, I feel like, you know, that's kind of where it started. So hopefully we can turn this thing around and get ready.
There's a lot of talk this week about the health of your knee. How is that knee, and what's the prognosis?
It's banged up, and we got to figure out how we're going to fix it. It's going to be a tough process this offseason, but, I mean, getting to the NFL, it hasn't been easy, so it's nothing I'm not used to. Just have to do some rehab and get ready to try to get back to full speed as soon as possible.
The talk will probably start about the coach. People say, okay, well, Jack Del Rio is going to be coach of the year, and then now you lose 3 in a row. People are starting to speculate. Is he on the hot seat? I know you have thoughts on that. Your thoughts.
I mean, really what people think doesn't matter to us. People told us we were going to be 4-12 at the end of the year. So, obviously, they know all about football, you know. We were in a great position. We had a chance to win the division this week. We had a chance to win the division 2 weeks ago. So, it's something we got to fix, you know. We're moving forward. It's a process, but we got to be able to try to turn around quicker than what we're doing. You know, last year we were 7-9. This year we're 8-8. Hopefully we'll be better. We'll have a winning record next year and move forward. There's a couple games that we did let get out of hand, I think, that early this year that we should have been able to kind of take control of a little bit. And those games bite you in the butt in the end. So we got a lot of work to do, but we grew throughout this year. We have another, even though we're a young team, we have another year of experience under our belt. And we'll be able to go. But as for coaching, I mean, there should be no reason for that. Everybody doubted us in the beginning, and we've done some great things. The coach done a great job with us. We're able to make plays. I mean, we're breaking records in our franchise. And I think we should just continue. I mean, you don't want to set a team back that's moving forward. I think by changing a coach, that's what would happen. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
All right. Thank you, Maurice.
No problem.
Maurice Jones-Drew. Before our break, tell you that our O'Reilly Auto Parts offensive player of the game is Mercedes Lewis, the Pro Bowler, 4 catches, 28 yards, and his club record-tying 10th touchdown of the season this afternoon. O'Reilly Auto Parts will make a donation to the Jack Del Rio Foundation in the name of Mercedes Lewis. Jaguars lose 34-17 to end their season in Houston. We'll come back with our Bud play of the game and sign off after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show season finale. Last three games have been tough, folks. Watching the Jaguars go from 8-5 with the opportunity for the division title to 8-8 and out of the playoffs. Yeah, it's tough for all of you and all of us associated with this franchise to stomach. That's about all we can say about that one. There will be speculation about Jack Del Rio's future in Jacksonville. That will be addressed by the owner. There's not really much reason to even speculate on it at this time, though that's what makes talk show go in this day and age. All we can tell you is that the Jaguars finished with an 8-8 record, 3-5 on the road, 5-3 at home, 3-3 in the division, and they are in second place in the AFC South. And beyond that, the future is uncertain, but isn't it always every day for all of us? Time now for our, but you know what, before we do play the game, some folks to thank who make this broadcast possible week in and week out. At home, my spotter, and folks, a spotter is someone who works with me to know who's in the game, keep me abreast of stats and storylines and all those things. They're very important people. TJ Streit from Atlantic Beach is my spotter at home games. And John Deneen, who has been with us every year now, 4 years running, making the trip with us on the road. So really appreciate those guys. To the folks at CompuFax. It's just, they print our game charts. They have always and only been the business provider, business machine provider of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we can't say enough about what Jason DeFore and his team do there, working with his dad. We really, really, really appreciate Larry, Jason, and the whole crew at CompuFax. Scott Kushner, another excellent job on the board here, puts the equipment together, makes sure it works. And, he really keeps Joe Fortunato in line. And I'll say this, ladies and gentlemen. He is the best producer in the National Football League on the radio. Week in and week out, he's as good as it gets. And that doesn't even include the crew back at home. Cole and Pete and Marco are so high maintenance that Ed and Jay and Linda, man, they just dance through hoops to keep the... Do you understand the requirements that Culpepper has to sit in that studio? Do you know the food that must be brought in? We're kidding. It's a great support staff. And we think that our pregame and our postgame shows with Cole and Pete and Marco are as good as you'll find. We're biased, of course, but you know because you listen and then you call in, and I'm sure they're getting braced for that. So we want to wish everybody listening a very, very happy new year. The NFL is an up-and-down league. You will win, you will lose. You must enjoy the times when you win because, man, it really sucks to lose, but that's just kind of the way that it goes. So I'll say, I won't say goodbye yet because I got to do the play of the game, don't I? But play the game's easy, 17-10, 2 minutes to play in the second quarter, and the Jaguars have the ball first and goal at the 7-yard line, and Trent Edwards found the most dependable receiver for the Jaguars all season for the touchdown to tie the ball game up. Jones and Jennings line up in the I formation. Edwards is under center. Brad Meester takes the ball, hands it. Oh, it's play action. Looking into the end zone, turns and fires. He's got Mercedes Lewis. Lewis is in. Touchdown, Jacksonville. His 10th of the season. And that ties Reggie Williams' 2007 record of 10. And Mercedes is obviously headed to the Pro Bowl. And, you know, pending the outcome of labor disputes, free agency. And he is going to become a very well-paid tight end. There is not a more deserving player for all of the honors that he will get this year than Mercedes Lewis. Just a sensational kid. And that is our Bud Play of the Game brought to you by Bud Light. It's a sure sign of a good time. Here we go to the offseason, ladies and gentlemen. Jack Del Rio Show on Tuesday for those of you on the network, and the one-hour version of Jaguars This Week for you on Wednesday. We'll sign off. Final score for the final time this season from Reliance Stadium in Houston. Texans 34, Jaguars 17. You've been listening to Jaguars football throughout the 2010 season on Jaguars Radio. Happy New Year.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Now from Jaguars Central, Cole Pemper, Pete Banaszak, Marco Coleman here. After the Jaguars finish up the season with an 8-8 record, three straight losses after a 34-17 loss in Houston today. All right, guys, we talked a little bit earlier about the small picture and the medium picture. Now let's talk about the big picture here for just a bit before we get into some particulars about the game today and what the offseason might bring. The big picture, direction of the franchise, where you see it going, where you see it right now, and you know what needs to happen in order to take that next step.
Well, I still think we have a lot of we got to keep going. We've had a good draft the last couple of years, and when I say good, we've found a couple players, say in each draft class, but we've got to hopefully find a superstar in one of the drafts this draft coming up, and keep building. I mean, we're getting better, but we're getting very, very slowly. And it doesn't really take a whole lot of ball players to be a great team from a good team to a mediocrity team. You know, it's just a couple players here and there. But again, we got to go after. And sometimes maybe you got to think where we need help the most. And I think we need help most in our secondary, number one. We are the worst defensive ball club in the secondary, I think, in the National Football
League. Maybe with the exception of Houston, who was
32nd
in the league.
Yeah, the two worst teams fought it out today. But you got to get some help back there and continue. One of Jack Del Rio's number one goals after last year was to reconstruct the defense. Well, the defense has gotten worse, in my opinion, from last year. I do. I think after
much better pass rush. It was the worst pass rush in the NFL.
But it's not a hell of a lot much better than
the numbers would say. They've doubled their sack total from a year ago.
But we went from two to four
when you needed the pass rush. I mean, it was fine when you played Buffalo. You killed them.
We need playmakers. we need difference makers. You know, and as we talked in the break, you know, our one and two picks have to come in and be starters. Be starters and make major contributions. You know, we got to start on our defense here, which I thought was Del Rio's goal last year, but maybe priorities took him other places. But I think that's where we got to start.
Well, and I'll also point out, it looks like, if I do my math right, that the Jaguars will pick 17th in the first round, I believe. If not, it'll be one spot one way or another. But about in the middle of the first round, in other words. And we'll have some chances to talk about who might be there and what kind of players they can get there. But listen, if you pick at number 17, you ought to be able to find somebody who can come in and find a pretty good football player. And if you pick middle of the second round, if it's a pretty decent draft class, and we're not sure based on the underclassmen who will come out, but we think this can be a pretty good draft class, you know, in terms of depth, so, you know, league-wide. So we'll see how it plays out. But, Marco, is this a team whose arrow is pointing up? Is it an arrow pointing down? Is it a no change team right now?
Well, I was told that you're either getting better or you're getting worse. You never stay the same. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you have to look at is the deterioration at the end of the season. As a coach, some kind of way, because we're starting to form a pattern here, is 2 years in a row where you have your destiny in your own hand. You only have to win one or two games out of four at the end of a season, and you're unable to do that. So until the coaching staff, who, you know, I think that's directly now pointing at the coach, because even with these players, regardless, you still have an opportunity to get into the playoffs. Some guy, he's got to get the motivation such that the tempo is matched at the end of the season.
So you think
with other players
in the big
teams.
Picture here, not in the last month. I'm talking the big picture. Is this team getting better or worse?
They're getting worse.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I think in the big picture, They lost four straight at the end of last year, finished 7-9. I think it's a better team. The record is one game better. I think the roster is better. They lost today, the last 2 weeks, without Maurice Jones-Drew. And really, you can say they lost the last three because Maurice was playing on a bad knee, you know, trying to tough it out against Indy without their best offensive player. They didn't have the quarterback in this ball game. And you could say, well, those are just excuses. Well, they're not. They're facts. I mean, that's what it is. Is this team got a steep arrow going up? You know, is this?
No. Staying 8-8 is okay.
Well, there's not staying. I'm saying I think that they're a better team now than they were last year. All right. And in you can take it from a 3 week patch or a month or a core, whatever you want to do. I think they're a better team. Do you think they're a better team this year than they were last year?
One point in the season they were, you got the same result. So you're the same.
No, they were 7-9 last year. They're
same result.
Okay, so
same result.
So you're saying they're worse.
So if they were 7-9 and got in the playoffs, I would say that would have been an accomplishment. Won a division at 7-9.
And you would have said that would have been better.
That would have been better.
Okay, I'm not. I can't jump on
record,
that record.
It's all about the records and accomplishments.
No, it's not. No, it's about stepping back and looking at it to say, is this team better now than it was a year ago at this time? I think it absolutely is.
Not
and here's
right
why. Here's why. Again, the record notwithstanding, you've got young guys like Knighton and Cox and Monroe, Britton before the injury, Mike Thomas. These guys were all better this year than they were a year ago. Agreed?
No.
You don't think
not
those guys?
Knighton played better at the end of last season than he did this season.
He did not play well today.
These last couple of weeks, earlier in the season. These last few weeks have not been. He has not finished the season.
Okay, again, you're gonna take the player's point of what have you done for me lately?
Yes.
And I know that's the mantra in the National Football League.
People say
that all the time. But I will guarantee you that a general manager will say Terrence Knighton's a better player right now than he was last year at this time.
Well, I guess you're
fooling yourself.
Well, all we can do is go by the film. I can look at the film, and I can take your last four games from last year and the last four games of this year. Were you better? No, and I can say that he was better last year in the last four than he was this year. The last couple of games he has not played. Last few games he has not
helped. I don't think he played well today. I do think he played well last week. The Colts game he had some issues playing on a bat.
The big games.
Okay, again, I'm not even going to try to convince you because Marco thinks that this team is not better than it was last year this time.
I just said if you're not getting better, then you're getting worse. That's what I'm saying. You can't stay the same in this league.
That's your point. Right? You do not think they're getting better.
I don't think they were better this season.
Do you think they're better right now than they were a year ago?
I think in some of the areas they were better, and the other areas they were worse. Okay. And really, when to wash it out, maybe it's about even. But I think we're worse than the secondary. I think our quarterbacking this year was basically not as good as it was last year.
I disagree with that.
And Maurice Jones-Drew, it probably was the most pleasant thing that happened to this ball club. Thank God for Maurice Jones-Drew. This team would be squat on offense. Mercedes had a good year. So some players have stepped up, and we expected to see this out of Mercedes. We expected to see this out of Maurice Jones-Drew. Right. But we expected to see more out of Alu. We expected more, as Marco said, out of Knighton. We expected more out of our linebacking core. I don't think we got that. Morrison hasn't improved this ball club from last year by any means. We found a couple guys in the draft that can help this team. But as far as I hope I live long enough to see it.
All right, just as a note, by the way, you want to talk about the I want to have some numbers to back up my contention. The quarterback play was better this year than it was last year. Last year, David Garrard, 15 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, quarterback rating 83.5. This year, 23 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, quarterback rating 90.8. All right, is it a huge leap forward? No, but it is better play.
Okay, it's a little better. I'll give you that. I'll concede that to you.
Got one.
But is that going to take us to a playoff game? To a Super Bowl, to an AFC championship, to a playoff game? It wasn't good enough.
You can get to the playoffs with a quarterback with a 90 quarterback rating. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you got to have a defense that shows
up. Have other things around them. Exactly.
It's about playoffs and it's about Super Bowls. I don't give a damn rat's rear end about anything else other than winning the Super Bowl. That's the only thing. I can't say, geez, we were better than last year. Well, yeah, but we're still home doing our Christmas shopping.
That's like college or high school thinking. In the pros, I'm paying millions of dollars. I want results. I paid $200 for my ticket. I want a championship.
You've got to have the full picture on this when you're talking. I mean, listen, the coach is making $5 million a year.
Right, I want a championship.
He's got 2 more years.
He's overpaid.
He's got 2 more years left on his contract. No, listen, you guys are looking at this from a player standpoint. You guys have both taken too many dings with not
enough
cheese.
Well, I'm pretty sure the fans feel the same way when they sit up in the stands and they spend $200 for a ticket.
I get it, but I'm giving a little different, and I'm not saying I've been an NFL owner, but I think I can look at this from an owner's standpoint as well as from a player's standpoint, not having done either, all right? I'm giving a little different perspective on it. You can take it or leave it, but it's a $10 million left on Jack Del Rio's contract. He has not lost the locker room. The locer room is still responding to him.
But he's lost games. In December.
I agree with you on that. I'm not saying it's a slam dunk either way. But if you're going to sit there and say, oh, it's you got to fire the coach.
I'm talking to the fans.
I'm talking to the fans who are already pelting me with,
we
get rid
will
of the
keep
coach.
Jack Del Rio. Even though he's overpaid, let him stick around. But we got to win championships.
Because I'm all in favor of giving Gene Smith that 3 years of getting his guys all the way in there. Mm-hmm. Okay, we can just go in and say, okay, you look at the defensive line. Nobody had more than 3 seasons worth of experience on the defensive line today.
Yeah.
And that's something to be said. So if you get these guys this opportunity, come back next year. And then we're going to have to really look at and evaluate what's really going on.
You were a first-round pick. How long did it take till you really knew what you were doing playing defensive line in the NFL?
Well, I got rookie of the year my first year in the league. So
did you know what you were doing?
I knew what I had. Joe Green was my defensive line coach. Yeah. I had someone that taught me how to play football, not just on the field, but also the mentality to play the game. They have a coach and a defensive line coach that probably has never been in a situation. He can tell them maybe how to rush and how schematically to throw a rip, the type of things that you can pull up online and Google, but he can't tell you the real live experience, the mind state that you have to have come into December to play a football game. Yep. The mind state going into this one is different than fall. I mean, in September. December and in September, different mind states.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there at all. And I think you can say all you want. You have to have experienced it before you really get it.
Exactly.
I mean, somebody could tell you all you want, but you really still have to.
That's why I'm shocked with Jack, that the mind state is not such at this time of the year.
Yeah. All right. Well, remind you to enjoy a bold-tasting hot or iced small coffee at McDonald's for only $1. Yeah, McDonald's, I'm loving it. We'll take time out, come back, talk a little about the offense in the big picture here. Winn-Dixie postgame show continues after the Jaguars wrap up the season at 8-8. Back after this time out here on the Jaguars Radio Network. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show following the Jaguars' season finale. A 34-17 loss in Houston today. Tired of defending what you pay for car insurance with Geico? You won't have to. Go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO for your free rate quote and see how much you can save. All right, let's look at where the offense is right now going forward, guys. Marco, let's start first with just the state of the offense, the approach, and the personnel. Where do they need to get better on the offense right now heading to 2011?
Wide receiver.
Okay.
I think wide receiver more than anything. I mean, the quarterback, David, is a very capable quarterback, but the wide receiver, nobody can get open. I mean, today we saw it that with Trent Edwards, he needed someone to make a play offensively as far as the wide receiving corps. It was obvious they were really focusing on Mercedes, and no one was able to do that.
And Jason Hill's a guy who we've seen some good things of late in the year. I'm not saying you look at him and you say he's your star for next year, but they've added him in the mix. You've got Mike Thomas. I agree with you on offense. Brad Meester-Pete, I think, had his best year in a long time. He slimmed down in the offseason and tried to concentrate more on speed, making sure he could get to those second-level blocks and so forth. You'd love to have Evan Britton back and healthy after the way he was starting the season. I think Eugene Monroe took a step forward. Is he all the way there? No, but I think he certainly took a step forward at left tackle. Vinny Monowai had a terrific year. Especially the second half of the season at left guard. They've got a lot of components there on the offensive side of the ball.
Offensively, I think we're a pretty strong football team. I like our mental toughness on offense. I like the run, setting the stage of every game with our running attack. And number one, we got to keep Maurice Jones-Drew healthy, sure. And we got to keep him on the field and healthy. He doesn't help us sitting on the sidelines. We found out that Rashad Jennings is a good number two guy. This guy can play. He's shown that this year. I agree with Marco. I think we need outside receiver, somebody that is a 6'4", 6'5", guy, and there's some out there that can be found. 6'5",
Reggie Williams is available.
and you know, a big outside fast receiver that's dominant. Mm-hmm. Mercedes Lewis, you can't ask for any more. He's kind of set the tone. So we've got to look in the future, look down the road, and get a quarterback. But that's not the number one priority. You know,
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, and so offensively, we're in better shape offensively than we are defensively.
Agreed. All right, so let's look at the defense. Defensively, Marco, I'll start with you. Where do they need to? What are the highest priorities in your mind on defense?
I think safety. I think you go and you get a young, another Barry out of that got drafted by the Chiefs. I like, you know, he's came in and been a big impact player.
Yep.
Someone like that, I think, or a linebacker even. You know, one of those two. I think either linebacker or safety, you can get an impact player to make a difference on that defense. And they got to be a big gamer. You know, that's why I think they need someone that knows how to play in big games, and they make plays in big games.
Pete, are you with safety? Is that the...
I agree with Marco. We've got to do something to strengthen this secondary, because teams just pick our eyeballs out of our head. You know, the good quarterbacks just kill us week in and week out. And whether it's a safety, I like to see it. I like to see, boy, if we could find a like you said, a Barry, Eric Berry, or Ed Reed or something out there.
You'll take Troy Polamalu then somewhere along the line. Yeah.
But, and I'm not saying, but just, I think that Barry's done a great job for Kansas City. I mean, he's come in as a rookie and has really played up to Pro Bowl level his first year. That's what we got to find.
Now, here's the bad news. Or maybe it's good news. I don't know. I'm looking, take this with a grain of salt, but I'm looking at Mel Kiper's draft board, right? His top 25 big board as it stands right now. There's not a safety listed in his top 25. There are some cornerbacks, or linebackers, certainly quarterbacks, wide receivers, offensive linemen, defensive linemen. No safeties, though, listed there at the top. So you may be looking at a second-round pick. But, again, you can still find players in the second round.
Right.
You can find players in the third round. And if you do it, I mean, Arian Foster was undrafted, and he just led the league in rushing. So you can find players out there.
Maurice Jones-Drew wasn't a number one pick either.
Second
round pick.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, realistic, it's just you just got to know how to pick them.
Mm-hmm. And I think Gene has done a terrific job doing that so far. By the way, I think that's something
those guys have been very big contributors. It's the older guys, you know. You figure like the David Garrards, the Daryl Smiths, the Rasheem Mathises.
I think number two, we've got to find a difference maker at linebacker. You know, I think a dominant linebacker, which we haven't had.
You'd like to have somebody else to be to do what Daryl Smith does on a consistent basis.
Exactly. And you know, what year Daryl Smith, this is his sixth year, I think, believe.
That might be about right.
And you know, we've got to look for stoppers on defense. You know, we just, our defense is, and again, I go back to, and I remember sure as God made green apples, as I was sitting in this same chair, I remember Del Rio saying in his last game last year against, I believe it was Cleveland, that his number one priority in the offseason was to reconstruct the defense. Well, you know what? You did a bad job, Jack. I'll be the first to tell you that.
All right. Well, by the way, some news coming out on some coaching situations. Tom Coughlin will be back next year, according to John Mara. That's a report out of New York. So Coughlin will return as the Giants head coach there, and we'll find out what happens. Bud Adams is going to meet with Titans officials in Houston tomorrow to decide Jeff Fisher's future. That's a report from Jay Glazer. So there are a number of coaches whose futures are certainly very much up in the air right now, as we look forward to the 2011 offseason. All right, we'll take time out when we come back. The Sexton Summary, also still to come, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we'll give a little bit of a nod toward next year and see what we think. It's way too early to be making predictions, but we're going to do it anyway. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gates. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gates today. We're back with more of the Winn-Dixie Post Game Show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie Post Game Show. After the Jaguars lose on the road in Houston, 34-17, wrap up the season at 8-8. Time now for the Sexton Summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game. Through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Ryan Sexton. Early on, Houston got it going on the ground. Arian Foster's first carry on 3rd-and-1 went for 56 yards. That was the same number as he had all of last game against the Jaguars. That would set up a 2-yard Foster touchdown run. After the Jaguars punted it away on their first possession, Neil Rackers capitalized with a 26-yard field goal, and Houston was up 10-0 early on. But the Jaguars would fight back, and they got the ground game going on their second possession. First down runs by Rashad Jennings of 16 yards, then 12, then 8. Then Deji Kareem moved the chains with a 7-yard gallop. And 8 plays later, the Jaguars were in scoring position.
Toss sweep. Jennings has got room. He's got blockers. He's got a touchdown, Jacksonville.
That made it a 10-7 ball game. But Houston, boy, they really got that offense cranked up today, as they have most of the year, one of the most potent offenses in the NFL. Derek Ward's 35-yard run made it a 17-7 Houston lead, the 10-point spread once again. Jaguars cut it to 7 on a Josh Scobie field goal, then held Houston to 3 plays and out, and a 7-play drive would ensue. A run by Deji Kareem of 10 yards, then 11 yards by Kareem, then a pass interference call on a ball intended for Mercedes Lewis, set the Jaguars up inside the 10-yard line.
Edwards is under center. Brad Meester takes the ball, hands it, knows play action. Looking into the end zone, turns and fires. He's got Mercedes Lewis. Lewis is in. Touchdown, Jacksonville. His 10th of the season.
That tied the Jaguars' single-season record for touchdown receptions and tied the game at 17. But the Jaguars' defense couldn't hold Houston out late in the half as they drove downfield to set up a Neil Rackers 33-yard field goal, and Houston had a 20-17 lead at the break. But the Jaguars would get the ball to start the second half, and you thought, well, maybe this is a chance for the Jaguars to get something done. They converted a 3rd-and-12 when Trent Edwards scrambled for 14 yards. Then later, on a 3rd down, rather on a 4th-and-1, Rashad Jennings would convert. On 3rd-and-7, though, from the 39-yard line, the Jaguars would fail to connect on a pass. It was incomplete, and instead of attempting a long Josh Scobie field goal, Jack Del Rio instead punted. And it was a very good punt by Adam Podlish, down to the 3-yard line. But that would not deter Houston. They would march 10 plays, 97 yards, to stretch the lead back to 10.
And Shaw back to throw. Steps, turns, fires, it's caught. Touchdown. Owen Daniels.
And from there, the Jaguars' offense was kind of bogged down. The Texans made some adjustments on defense, started stopping the run, and Houston had a chance to add to that lead. Took him just 2 plays in the 4th quarter. First, a 41-yard pass to Joel Dreesen, the tight end. And then from the 35-yard line, they turn to the league's leading rusher.
Shaw hands it to Foster, running right, looking for a seam. He's got it. Look at him go inside the 30 to the outside of the 20. He's on the run to the end zone at the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Arian Foster.
It was 34-17 at that point. Jaguars had a couple of other chances late. Josh Scobie missed a 46-yard field goal. Mercedes Lewis fumbled. Then on the last possession with the time just winding down, Troy Nolan intercepted a Trent Edwards pass, and that was it. Jaguars lose it. 34-17, close out the season at 8-8. That's the Metro PCS Sexton Summary with no signed contracts. Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We'll be back with a protector of the game and the coverage of the game. It's all straight ahead here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, plus the good, the bad, and the ugly. Back after this timeout on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show following the Jaguars' season-ending loss in Houston. Time now to name the Protector of the Year. It's brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. Usually we'd say Protector of the Game, but we're going to give a year-long award here, Marco.
I'm going to say the headbanger, Greg Jones.
Fullback continues to just fantastic job, man. Blocking in the run.
Paved the way today for Rashard and Kareem to have some good yardage.
Yeah, absolutely. And then our Baptist Health Coverage of the Year, Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Pete, what about the coverage of the year?
Well, we've got to give it to the guy we got from San Diego, Kareem Osgood. He's made a couple great plays this year and really has been inspirational on our special teams. Probably one of our best free agent signings in a long time.
Yeah, he and Montel Owens, right. The number one and number two, Montel number one this year and Kasim number two in terms of the Pro Bowl lineup. And Kasim especially covering punts inside the 5. He's been terrific at it this year.
Absolutely. He's got it down to a he hustles down there. And, you know, one thing I like about him, once he's down there, he's a sure-handed tackler. He gets his hands on them, they're coming down.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so those are our awards for this week. We'll take time out, come back with the good, the bad, and the ugly for the final time this year. This season, anyway. Jaguars lose it in Houston. Winn-Dixie Postgame Show rolls on right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show following the Jaguars' loss in the final game of the season in Houston. Time now for the good, the bad, and the ugly from Peter Banaszak. Start the year off right and wrap up the year in fine fashion. Peter, what do you think?
Good thing is my favorite is our offense and running game. It was great all year. I starting out with Maurice Jones-Drew and our offensive line. Kudos to tight end and Mercedes Lewis, Greg Jones, offensive line. Great job. I mean, the running game, and today it was just effective with Rashid Jennings in there, and we found a good 1-2 punch. And the thing about it is, they were scoring so fast after we would score that we had to get out of the running game and start throwing the football a little bit, stretching the field and trying to mix it up a little bit more. But I certainly was impressed with Rashad Jennings and his performance and our entire offense all year long, our offensive line. The bad thing I thought was, and I'm going to divert a little bit from what's at hand here, but I was watching when Titans Kerry Collins fumbled the snap with a minute and 50 seconds to go. I couldn't believe it with my own eyes. And he was standing right over the ball, and he didn't have enough sense to fall on it. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. I hope you see it in the replays tonight, and you people out there listening, this is the most ridiculous. And they were in field goal range. They could have won that ball game. But like I said, with a minute and 50 seconds left, he fumbled the ball. And the ugly thing is our finish in December has not been good, as we've been discussing, you know, all evening here. And I really believe it's not been good because one of the areas we got to grow in is mental toughness. This ball, as a team, you know, I know guys are hurt. I know it's been a long grind since June, actually from March, and your conditioning drills, but it's been a long year. But you got it. This is when it all happens in December. This is where you separate the men from the boys, the champions from the chumps. And we're just not mentally tough enough yet. And hopefully with the improvement we're showing a little bit year to year to year, that improvement will be part of it will be mental toughness. Because, you know, Marco and I were talking in the break, you know, when we played, you practice in pads every practice till right up till your last game of the season, and no shorts, no underwear, pad, and a helmet.
All right, that'll wrap things up on the Winn-Dixie postgame show. For those of you in Jacksonville, stick around. We'll take your calls, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Calls to come after the Jaguars wrap up the season with an 8-8 record with a 34-17 loss in Houston to the Texans. Certainly will be a lot to talk about on this one as the Jaguars conclude the 2010 season here on January the 2nd of 2011. Stick around in Jacksonville. And for those of you on the network, thanks for tuning in all year long right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. It was a pleasure to have you along with us on what was a crazy, wild roller coaster of a season. And we look forward to a terrific 2011 with you as well. Stick around in Jacksonville. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is coming up next.